FNC's Carlson, Pentagon is prioritizing purging Space Force ranks over possible unknown space threat. By Jeff Poor on May 18, 2021. Monday, FNC host Tucker Carlson opened his program questioning the military's response to the unknown space threats reported in various media outlets in recent days, noting the dismissal of Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer. Lohmeyer was removed from his post as commander of 11th Space Warning Squadron at Buckley Air Force Base, Colorado, after discussing his new book Critical of Critical Race Theory and Supposed Marxist Influences in the Military. The Fox News host suggested that demonstrated the misplaced priorities of the Pentagon. Transcript as follows. Carlson, the United States remains the most powerful country in the world. That's the good news. What's interesting is that this country has occupied that position for so long that relatively few Americans have considered what would happen if we slipped from that perch. Would it matter if America became subordinate to other nations? There's a debate about that. Let's see. At work, does matter to you who the boss is? It probably does matter. That's the person who can fire you in the world isn't so different from that. The top countries give the orders, the rest of the planet takes the orders whether they like it or not. We've lost sight of that, because for more than a century, America effectively has been in charge of much of the world, and that's exactly why we have stayed rich and free for that time. Most Americans, on some level, understand that this is an arrangement worth preserving, if only because the options to it are so much worse. How would you like to be forced to obey the Chinese Communist Party? Not so much. How would you feel about surrendering the US dollar as the world's reserve currency and immediately going bankrupt? No, thanks. Most of us would like to avoid outcomes like that, and that's why we spend more than any country in the world on our military. There's a reason the Department of Defense is our largest government agency. It's not just because defense contractors are powerful. It is because we all agree it's really important. In exchange for all that money and all that power and all the oversight we give it, we expect in return the Pentagon will stay up late thinking of ways to keep America strong. The question is, have they been doing that? Well, you can judge for yourself. Most of the generals we see quoted in the press seem more committed to meeting some counterproductive diversity goal, hiring more pregnant Air Force pilots, assembling the world's first transgender SEAL team than on defending the United States. The conflicts the Pentagon says it is preparing for often seem comically small and outdated, almost from colonial times, whether it's wrangling with illiterate tribesmen in Afghanistan, that's very important, or ramping up for some new war against a remote group of buildings in Syria, wherever the hell Syria is. Can poor irrelevant countries really be our greatest enemies? We act like it, but they're not. And that's been confirmed tonight, by the way. This nation's most formidable foe, the new defense secretary just told us, is the weather itself. Going forward, the US military has declared a hot war on global warming. Begin video clip. Lloyd James Austin III, U.S. Secretary of Defense. Today, no nation can find lasting security without addressing the climate crisis. We face all kinds of threats in our line of work, but few of them truly deserve to be called existential. A climate crisis does deserve to be called existential. End video clip. Carlson, existential. If you've got a cliche, he will read it on television. That was Lloyd Austin, of course. Lloyd Austin is a former defense contractor. Not surprisingly, he is a full-time ideologue as well. Having Lloyd Austin at the Pentagon is like handing control of the entire U.S. military to the editorial page of the New York Times. Here is Lloyd Austin explaining the single scariest risk our soldiers face is the possibility they might have to serve alongside Americans who didn't vote for Joe Biden. Begin video clip. Austin, and if confirmed, I will fight hard to stamp out sexual assault and to rid our ranks of racists and extremists. The job of the Department of Defense is to keep America safe from our enemies, but we can't do that if some of those enemies lie within our own ranks. End video clip. Carlson, he is a joke and mediocrity. And of course, he was confirmed by the Senate as if he was impressive, but he's not, and the results are entirely predictable. A new report in Revolver News puts a finer point on what exactly is happening at the Pentagon under Lloyd Austin. Austin has hired an activist type called Bishop Garrison as the head of the military's vast diversity and inclusion apparatus, a group of offices that has nothing to do with fighting and winning wars. Just spend 5 minutes Googling Bishop Garrison, treat yourself. He is a lunatic. A few years ago, he announced that anyone who supports Donald Trump, that would be tens of millions of American citizens, many of whom have served in the military, is a white supremacist. And by the way, he said there is no room for nuance, quote, on that question. Garrison wrote a lot of things like that. You can Google it. Again, you should. Now, and this is the point, he is one of the most powerful officials in the U.S. military. Democrats in Congress are thrilled as they watch this. Their party now has all the tanks and drones. What's strange is that Republicans don't seem to have noticed that it happened. They are still giving the same vacuous speeches about the troops, and then of course signing off on ever-expanding defense budgets with no oversight. The effect? The same fighting force that for generations we have been so proud of. The people who stormed Saipan and Guadalcanal have been captured without a shot by people who seem like rejects from the Google HR department and its defenders. The defenders of the troops can't be bothered to say a word about it. Do they have television? Have they seen the Army's latest recruiting ad? Begin video clip. Unidentified female, voiceover, this is the story of a soldier who operates your nation's Patriot missile defense systems. It begins in California with a little girl raised by two moms. Although I had a fairly typical childhood, took ballet, played violin. I also marched for equality. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age. A way to prove my inner strength and maybe shatter some stereotypes along the way. End video clip. Carlson, I also marched for equality. Oh, shut up. Who cares? Please stop talking about yourself for once. It is boring and irrelevant and insulting. This is not just your country, it belongs to all of us. Your job is to defend it, please do so. Yet, it is becoming clear they have no interest in defending it, and here is the latest evidence of that. It comes from CBS last night. This is a clip from a 60 Minutes report on, of all things, UFOs in the U.S. military. Watch this. Begin video clip. Unidentified male, voiceover, a Navy aircrew struggles to lock onto a fast-moving object off the U.S. Atlantic coast in 2015. Recently released images may not convince UFO skeptics, but the Pentagon admits it doesn't know what in the world this is, or this, or this. End video clip. Carlson, oh UFOs, they are spooky and kind of funny. Crazy people believe in them, up until you get to the line, the Pentagon admits it doesn't know what in the world this is. And that's where you pause, because from a national security perspective, that is a very big problem. How big a problem is it? One Navy pilot said that the U.S. military has observed unidentified flying objects maneuvering in restricted airspace off the coast of Virginia, quote, every day for 2 years. Begin video clip. Bill Whitaker, CBS News correspondent. Voiceover, the Pentagon confirms these are images of objects it can't identify. Lieutenant Graves told us pilots training off the Atlantic coast see things like that all the time. LT. Ryan Graves, former Navy pilot, every day for at least a couple years. Whitaker, wait a minute. Every day for a couple of years? Graves, yes. End video clip. Carlson, every day for years. Now flying in restricted airspace is not a small thing. Try that in your Cessna 172 off Virginia Beach sometime, you will get very wet very fast. You'll be killed actually. Yet, the Pentagon, after every day for 2 years of daily incursions, didn't appear to do anything about it. Why didn't they? We're just guessing one possible explanation, they couldn't. Our military was completely outmatched technologically by whatever these were, and whatever they were not weather balloons. Here is Lou Elizondo, the former director of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Begin video clip. Whitaker, you know how this sounds. It sounds nutty, wacky. Lou Elizondo, former director, Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Look, Bill, I'm not telling you that it doesn't sound wacky. What I'm telling you, it's real. Imagine a technology that can do 600 to 700 G-forces, that can fly at 13,000 miles an hour. That it can evade radar, and that can fly through air and water and possibly space. And oh, by the way, has no obvious signs of propulsion. No wings, no control surfaces, and yet still can defy the natural effects of Earth's gravity. That's precisely what we're seeing. End video clip. Carlson, sound like a potential threat? You think? So what has the Pentagon done about it? Well, we don't know the full story as of tonight. But we don't know that they've done anything about it other than ignore it. And then cover the fact they ignored it by declaring the whole subject classified for decades. And then spending the rest of the day thinking about how to bomb Syria again. And rid the Marine Corps of people who voted for Donald Trump. The sad thing is we have a whole new branch of the military that might be perfectly designed to assess what these things are. And figure out if they're a threat or not, or maybe respond. If there was ever a reason to have Space Force, this might be it. But Space Force is otherwise occupied these days. They are busy conducting political purges of their own ranks, as all the branches of the military are. Here's Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer. He commanded the Space Force unit until the White House decided that his politics were not acceptable. Begin audio clip. LT. Col. Matthew Lohmeyer, former commander of the 11th Space Guard at Buckley Air Force Base in Colorado. Since taking command as a commander about 10 months ago, I saw what I consider fundamentally incompatible and competing narratives of what America was, is, and should be. That wasn't just prolific in social media or spreading throughout the country during this past year, but it was spreading throughout the United States military. And I had recognized those narratives as being Marxist in nature. End audio clip. Carlson, so every day for 2 years, unidentified flying objects behaving in ways that seem to contradict what we know about physics. And the U.S. military is spending its time as of right now purging its ranks. What does this remind you of? Maybe the Soviet Army in 1938. A clear and present threat appears on the horizon. But the people in charge are so obsessed with political purity and loyalty to the party that they can't respond because they're absorbed in attacking their own organization. When they say that all revolutions are the same, they're right. UFOs, it turns out, are real, and whatever else they are, they are a prima facie challenge to the U.S. military. They are doing things the U.S. military does not allow, and they're doing it with impunity. And they appear to be focused on the U.S. military. UFOs for decades appear to have clustered around our military installations or ships and our aircraft, with no real response except more secrecy. At one point, unidentified flying objects apparently shut down a nuclear weapons facility at an Air Force base in the state of Montana. 10 ICBMs, ballistic missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles were temporarily knocked offline. At the same time, base security noticed a glowing red object floating in the sky. It sounds like out of a movie, but it happened. That was decades ago. Many more UFOs had been sighted near our nuclear weapons facilities since around the country. According to journalist George Knapp, quote, all of the nuclear facilities, Los Alamos, Livermore, Sandia, Savannah River, all had dramatic incidents with these unknown aircraft appearing over the facilities, and no one knew where they were from or what they were doing there. Again, for decades, this has happened. Apparently, no one knows why. No one seems too especially alarmed. In the 1950s, some people were worried about this. In a declassified FBI document from 70 years ago describes unknown flying objects measuring 50 feet in diameter in the vicinity of Los Alamos. More recently, the Pentagon has declassified footage from a UFO incident in 2004 and two UFO incidents from 2015. You're seeing that footage. It was recorded by Navy pilots during training flights. We have no explanation for what these objects are. Just days ago, the Pentagon confirmed that an 18-second video of three UFOs harassing a U.S. warship called the USS Russell is in fact real. That footage was shot in July of 2019 and collected by the Pentagon's UFO task force, then wound up in the hands of Jeremy Corbell, the journalist who put it online. So the question is, what are these things? Why are they buzzing our skies? Why do they seem attracted to the United States military, and why, above all, isn't the Pentagon more focused on this? It seems like a threat if there ever was one. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.